Hello, everyone. This is Zach, and welcome to another episode of Explains on the Bitcoin Well podcast channel. We've got a great deep dive today into the Bitcoin white paper by Satoshi Nakamoto. It's such a contrast to look at the world of 2008 and the financial collapse that Bitcoin was released into and the world today, where giant banks like Morgan Stanley, Citi, and Goldman Sachs all bending the knee to this open source experiment in money as they add it to their balance sheets and create rails to get Bitcoin to their customers. Not to mention Michael Saylor's strategy buying thousands of Bitcoin nearly every week. If Bitcoin was going to succeed, this was always going to happen. And it's not that Bitcoin needs the banks, quite the opposite. It's that if the banks want to stay relevant in the new world that Bitcoin is creating, they're going to have to use it. So as I record this on March 2nd and Bitcoin begins to push past 70,000 priced in US dollars, just keep this in perspective. Major players in the old fiat system have realized they can't fight Bitcoin anymore and are about to start buying it in massive amounts. So make sure you have your Bitcoin safe in your own wallet and cold storage, because we already know the games these institutions and governments want to play with your money. So thank God Bitcoin is so easy to self-custody and that you don't have to trust any bank to use it. Any questions or feedback, please email me at z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. That's z.addair@bitcoinwell.com. I will always respond. And without further ado, let's jump into Why Does Bitcoin Exist Part 3, the Bitcoin White Paper. October 31st, 2008, Halloween. The global financial system isn't just struggling, it's full-on melting down.
The 158-year-old investment bank Lehman Brothers was on the brink of failure after bailing out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac the week before and Bear Stearns the previous March. The federal government decided not to rescue Lehman. That decision set off a chain of events which nearly brought the world financial system to a halt.
Lehman Brothers has already collapsed. The government is handing out trillion-dollar bailouts using money they don't have to banks that don't deserve it to protect a system that's already failed.
Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson went to Congress to ask for a $700 billion bailout for the nation's banks.
The world's most powerful economists are in full panic mode. And at exactly 2:10 p.m. Eastern Time, an email hits a cryptography mailing list. Subject line, Bitcoin P2P eCash paper. No press release, no VC backing, no influencer promotions, no Bloomberg headline, just a PDF, 9 pages, attached to an email from someone named Satoshi Nakamoto, who, as far as anyone can tell, doesn't even exist. Talk about unsuspecting. While central bankers were throwing everything at the wall trying to save a broken system, or at least profit from its demise, an anonymous dude on the internet quietly released the blueprint that could solve the world's biggest problems. That PDF is the Bitcoin white paper. And today, we're going to explore it together. So just 9 pages. That's it. No flashy graphics, no hype. Dry, academic, almost brutally concise. It doesn't read like a manifesto, it reads like a mathematical proof. And the very first sentence of the abstract tells you everything you need to know about what's inside. Everything you need to know about what this was actually built for. A purely peer-to-peer version of electronic cash would allow online payments to be sent directly from one party to another without going through a financial institution. Unlike every crypto coin released after this paper, this wasn't about getting rich. It wasn't a speculative asset play. It was about one thing, autonomy. Removing the middleman. Building a system where two humans, anywhere on Earth, can exchange value without asking permission from a bank, a government, or anyone in between. Everything in these 9 pages points back to that sentence. Before Satoshi could offer a solution, he had to nail the diagnosis. And the diagnosis is right there in the introduction of the paper. The root cause of our financial dysfunction, according to Satoshi, is something deceptively simple: trusted third parties. Here's how the legacy system actually works. You buy something online. Money leaves your account, goes to a merchant. But that transaction can be reversed. Chargebacks exist. Disputes exist. Because transactions can be reversed, merchants can't fully trust buyers. So they demand more personal information. They require more verification. They bring in intermediaries to manage the friction. And those intermediaries charge fees. And now there's a whole industry built on managing the fact that the underlying system isn't trustworthy. The bank isn't just holding your money, it's acting as a referee in every transaction you make. A referee you're forced to use, a referee you're forced to pay for, a referee who, by the way, just needed a multi-trillion-dollar bailout. Satoshi's thesis? We need to replace trust with math. Cryptographic proof instead of institutional trust. A system where transactions are computationally impractical to reverse. Not because a bank says so, because the math, the code, says so. That's a fundamentally different idea, and most people, even today, haven't fully internalized just how radical it is. Okay, so how do you actually do that? Let me break this down, because section 2 of the paper is where Satoshi gets algebraic, and where most people's eyes start to glaze over. So stay with me. Satoshi defines what a Bitcoin actually is. Not philosophically, mathematically. A coin is a chain of digital signatures. Here's what that means in plain English. Think of a digital fingerprint. When I send you Bitcoin, I take the entire history of that coin, every hand it's ever passed through, and I run it through a mathematical function called a hash. That hash produces a unique fingerprint. Then I mix that fingerprint with your public address, your digital identity on the network. Then I seal the whole thing with my private key. That seal is my signature. It proves mathematically that I owned this coin, and now you own it. This is nothing like a credit card number. A credit card number is just a string of digits. It can be stolen, copied, replicated. But this signature, it's unique to this specific transaction, permanently. It can never be reused. Here's the catch, though. There's always a catch. This math solves ownership. It doesn't solve double spending. What stops me from copying that signature and sending it to 2 people at once? I mean, it's digital. Digital things can be duplicated. That's the entire problem with every previous attempt at digital cash. This is the puzzle that stumped cryptographers for decades. Satoshi's answer to that is, honestly, so elegant. If everyone can agree on the order of transactions, then everyone can agree on who owns what. Simple. Almost stupidly simple. But the implementation is the hard part. Here's the mechanism Satoshi proposes. A timestamp server. Take a bunch of transactions, stamp them with a time, link that stamp to the previous stamp, repeat forever. You've just built a chain of blocks. A time chain. You might know it as the blockchain, but Satoshi actually never used that word in the paper. Every block is mathematically linked to every block before it. Change anything in the past and you break the chain. The entire network can see it instantly. This creates something genuinely new in human history, a timeline that cannot be argued with. Not because a government enforces it, not because a bank audits it, because the math enforces it. Every node in the network holds a copy. There's no single point of failure, no single point of corruption. It is a distributed ledger of truth, the most honest and transparent thing humans have ever created. Now we have to ask, who gets to write this ledger? In a centralized system, there's a gatekeeper, one authority everyone else must look to for answers and ask permission from. But Satoshi's whole point was to remove the gatekeeper. So how does a leaderless network agree on what's true? This is where proof of work comes in. And the paper describes it not as mining, that word came later, but as a voting mechanism. Here's the problem with digital voting. If it's one IP address, one vote, a hacker can just spin up a million fake IPs and control the majority. The whole system falls apart. Satoshi's fix? One CPU, one vote. You want to vote on the history of the network? Prove that you spent real energy, computational energy, physical electricity, something you cannot fake and cannot copy. To cast a fraudulent vote, you'd have to outspend the entire honest network. The math makes it economically suicidal to cheat. Here's the punchline. As long as honest nodes, people running the network in good faith, control more computer power than attackers, the truth is secure. Not probably secure, mathematically secure. There's a difference. Section 11 of the white paper is where Satoshi does something a little wild. He stops writing English and starts writing C code. Because apparently a mathematical proof wasn't enough, he wanted to calculate the exact probability of an attacker successfully rewriting the network, rewriting history. He borrows a concept from probability theory called the gambler's ruin. Picture a foot race. You've got two runners, the honest network and an attacker. The honest network takes one step forward every 10 minutes. The attacker starts behind and is trying to catch up. Satoshi runs the numbers. What's the probability of the attacker catching up if they're just 10 blocks behind? That's about 100 minutes of lag. The answer? 0.0000012. And it drops exponentially from there. Every additional block of depth, the odds of reversal become more absurd. Let me translate that into plain terms. Once a transaction has been confirmed and buried under a few blocks of history, reversing it would require more energy than a small country consumes. Not more money, not more computing power you can just rent, more raw energy. Bitcoin security isn't an empty promise. It's bound by the laws of physics. Here's another question. If no one's in charge, why would anyone bother running this system? Satoshi answers this directly in Section 6, and his answer is genuinely beautiful. He compares it to gold mining. Quote, "The steady addition of constant amounts of new coins is analogous to gold miners expending resources to add gold to circulation. You support the network, you earn new coins. Simple." And here's the beautiful part. The incentive structure actively discourages attacks. If you're powerful enough to attack the network, you're powerful enough to mine it honestly and earn a fortune. And if you attack it, you destroy the very thing that makes the coins valuable. It's more profitable to play by the rules, not because Satoshi asks nicely, but because the math makes cheating economically irrational. This is spontaneous order in action. No central authority, no regulator, just aligned incentives producing honest behavior at scale. Rules without rulers. Mises would have loved it. Let's zoom out. In just 9 pages, Satoshi solved 3 problems that had stumped cryptographers for 3 decades. Removing the middleman? Solved. Decentralization? Preventing fraud and double spending? Solved. The time chain? Securing the network without a central authority? Solved. Proof of work and aligned incentives. This was a theoretical breakthrough of the highest order. But Satoshi wasn't just a writer. He was a builder. While academics were busy picking apart the PDF, debating edge cases, pointing out theoretical flaws, arguing over mailing lists, Satoshi was already finishing the code. 2 months later, on January 3rd, 2009, the network went live. And here's the part that gives me chills every time. Hidden inside the raw data of the very first block, the Genesis block, Satoshi embedded a message. Not a code, not a signature, a newspaper headline from that exact day. Quote, "The Times, 3 January 2009, Chancellor on brink of second bailout for banks." In one sentence, buried in the foundation of a new monetary system, Satoshi immortalized the motive. The old world was bailing out failure.
Taking a look at what the governments did, the bailouts, etc., do you think the government did the right thing?
But the new world was building an alternative. That's not an accident. That's a timestamp on a revolution. Now, a white paper is still just a theory. Elegant, beautiful, mathematically rigorous theory, but theory. To truly trust Bitcoin, you have to go deeper. How does a network with no leader actually prevent fraud in practice? What does mining actually look like under the hood? Why is it that no one, no government, no hacker, no billionaire has ever successfully cheated this system? That's what we're getting into next. In the next three-part Explain series, How Bitcoin Actually Works, we're going under the hood. Transactions, the blockchain, mining, proof of work. We're going to take the system apart and show you the mechanical beauty of what Satoshi actually built. See you there.